Newly released FBI documents say a civil rights activist was killed at Wounded Knee, South Dakota, during the 1973 occupation there. And the files suggest members of the American Indian Movement covered up the crime. The man's family, who lives in Detroit, still doesn't have what it wants most. The remains of Ray Robinson returned to them so they can bury him close to home. It was right around this time of year in 1973 that the siege on the Pine Ridge Reservation started.
A group of American Indians has taken over the town of Wounded Knee in South Dakota. The Indians are from an extremely militant group called AIM.
The standoff between AIM and federal law enforcement was big news on NBC and everywhere else when Cheryl Buswell Robinson's husband told her what he planned to do.
And Ray said, okay, this would be a good chance to unite the Indian movement and the black movement.
Buswell Robinson lives in Detroit now, but back then she and her family were living in Alabama, where they'd started a free clinic and ran a small farm. It was called the People's Farm, and they supplied food for the Black Panther Party breakfast program.
And I begged him. I said, please don't. We've got to get crops in the ground. It's coming to be spring. We won't eat this fall or winter if we don't get the crops in the ground. And he said, no, no, I'm going up there. It's important that we unite.
So Ray Robinson went to Wounded Knee as the occupation stretched into the spring. About 200 American Indians seized the small town on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. They were protesting what they saw as corrupt tribal leadership, and they were also demanding that the U.S. government honor its treaties with the tribes. The location was also symbolic. It was the site of a U.S. Army massacre of Lakota Indians in 1890. The occupation ended when the government took control of the town, as reported by ABC News.
The siege at Wounded Knee ended today, 71 days after it began, as militant
Indians carried out their part of Sunday's crucifixion. Days passed, then weeks. Robinson still hadn't returned to Alabama. He never would.
There's a long history of interactions between black folks and Indians. Some of it hasn't been that positive. But Ray went into a situation that he thought that commitment to the struggle would overcome any obstacles or any misunderstandings. Well, it didn't.
Buswell Robinson doesn't know exactly what happened to her husband, Ray. The FBI file released to the family through a Freedom of Information lawsuit includes interviews with several cooperating witnesses who say Ray Robinson was shot in the knee inside one of the makeshift bunkers. What happened next is less clear, but it appears he bled to death and was later buried close by. Why he was shot is also unclear.
What we want to know is what happened to Ray Robinson? Where are his remains buried?
Michael Kuzma is an attorney who sued the U.S. Justice Department to get Ray Robinson's FBI file.
And it's my belief that there was one or more informants in the bunker when Ray Robinson was shot and killed. And I think if my theory is correct, the American people have a right to know what the FBI did in this case.
I don't think the FBI played any role in the death of Perry Ray Robinson.
Paul DeMain is CEO of Indian Country Communications, which publishes news from Indian Country. He spent two decades investigating what happened on the Pine Ridge Reservation in the 1970s.
I think that was an internal murder of an alleged informant. He wouldn't pick up a gun in Wounded Knee. Frankly, he was described to me as a loudmouth nigger who wasn't part of the game plan in Wounded Knee, wouldn't pick up a gun, and therefore became suspected of being an informer.
But DeMain says he doesn't doubt there were AIM members who were feeding information to the FBI. And he says that could be why, after 40 years, no one has been prosecuted in the Robinson case.
That if they did go after some leadership members, that there would be revelations in regards to FBI complicity that would be exposed during that time period.
DeMain says the American Indian community needs to do the right thing by the Robinson family and get them the answers they deserve.
You know, when I go to Wounded Knee, South Dakota, I says, look at how atrocious the U.S. government can be toward Indians and look what they did. And then I turn around and say, and you know what? American Indians can do the same thing to people because they can shoot a black man and bury him here and they don't care about him because he is a black man.
AIM leaders have repeatedly claimed Ray Robinson was never at Wounded Knee.
Yeah, hello.
Clyde Bellicourt is a co-founder of AIM and was at Wounded Knee in 1973. He says the first time he ever heard Ray Robinson's name was last fall at a seminar in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
And I met who said she was his wife, white woman.
Cheryl, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time I heard about it. There was no Ray Robinson when I was there.
Bellicourt says if law enforcement has information that implicates AIM in Robinson's death, it should prosecute.
If they have all those documents and information, they ought to submit them to a grand jury and make some charges.
But Ray Robinson's widow and daughters say they're not really interested in finger pointing or culpability or prosecution.
I don't need the why, who. I don't need any of that.
Desiree Marks is Ray Robinson's oldest child. She was 6 years old when her dad went missing.
I understand that the time and what was going on, and that it was a struggle of the people. And in struggles, mistakes get made. And it's not my goal to second guess mistakes that were made at that time. I just want it to remain.
Marks and her family hope to inch closer to that goal through their Freedom of Information lawsuit. The file that was released was heavily redacted. A court hearing is scheduled for a week from today, at which the government is expected to explain why it's withholding the information. An FBI spokesman says the Ray Robinson case is closed. But the U.S. Attorney's Office in South Dakota is re-examining dozens of unsolved deaths on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. The review includes cases that date back to the 1970s, when political violence on the reservation reached a bloody peak. I'm Sarah Hewlett, Michigan Radio News.